Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, November 2nd, 2017. The head of the EU delegation in South Sudan says EU will pay for the process to revive the 2015 peace deal if the warring parties lay down their guns.
My coming to Khartoum in response to your invitation is really to put the final decision on all the agreements that we have been signing all this time, starting from 2012 and coming all the way to the moment that we are now talking in.
And President Kiir promises to implement the pending agreements with Sudan. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The European Union is asking the warring parties in South Sudan to show commitment to the IGAD-led initiative to revive the August 2015 peace deal. The head of the EU delegation to South Sudan says EU has agreed to fund the process to revive the peace deal. Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Speaking to reporters shortly after meeting with the South Sudan Cabinet Affairs Minister, Martin Elia Lomuro, head of EU delegation to South Sudan, Stefano Di Leo, said the South Sudan government and parties to the agreement have no other option but to revive the 2015 peace deal.
The revitalization is the only chance to reach peace in this country. We are fully aware of it. We are fully backing the process, but our backing is not only by words. The European Union and its member states are funding and supporting politically and financially the process because we fully believe that this is the way forward.
The transitional government of national unity has on several occasions blamed the international community for not providing funds for implementing the peace deal. But De Leo says the European Union is not convinced the warring parties are serious about ending the conflict in South Sudan. He says South Sudan government forces, their militias, and rebel fighters must all silence their guns before the EU provides any more funding.
What we want to see is, first of all, a ceasefire that is working. This would be a big achievement. And we look at this. So we fully support every movement and every discussion that leads to a ceasefire. This is the basis of every other understanding.
De Leo says the international community also wants to see South Sudanese authorities provide unfettered access for the delivery of humanitarian services across South Sudan. Minister Lomuro says his government is committed to reviving the 2015 peace deal and international support is needed to implement Chapter 2 of the document, which deals with the issues of maintaining security across the country.
Chapter 2 is the challenge. It is the army, the many armed groups competing with the national army, with the SPLA, that we need to address. And if we can address that comprehensively and achieve an agreement that all of us now form one national army, that no politician should have an army and that no army should be involved in politics, and we should all agree to disarm civilians and have a comprehensive DDR program, then we can silence the guns.
The regional bloc IGAD is expected to announce a timetable for the new round of talks between the warring parties in yet another attempt to revive the Seki 2015 peace deal. Lomuro issued this warning to South Sudanese authorities who are blocking humanitarian aid workers.
And I want to take this chance to tell our governors in all the states, to the leadership of the national security of the army in the states, that once General Majer has issued a document clearing agencies to take humanitarian assistance to whatever area they say they should go, none of you has the authority to stop it. And we are taking this very serious because humanitarian access has become our problem and is being politicized.
Earlier this week, Yei River State Governor David Lokonga ordered all non-governmental organizations operating in his state to submit their work plan and annual budget to his office. Some humanitarian aid workers in Yei consider the governor's directive as an impediment standing in the way of the work of aid workers. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudo in Juba.
Meetings continue for a second day between President Salva Kiir and Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir in Khartoum. Mr. Kiir told his counterpart yesterday that South Sudan is ready to cooperate with Sudan on many pending issues dating back to 2012.
My coming to Khartoum today in response to your invitation is really to put a final decision on all the agreements that we have been signing all this time, starting from 2012 and coming all the way to the moment that we are now talking in.
Sudan and South Sudan signed several agreements on trade, border issues, and freedom of movement between the two countries 1 year after South Sudan became independent. Both countries reneged on the issues they agreed to implement in 2012 deal. Mr. Kiir told President Bashir that will not happen this time around.
With this team that have come here, whatever they have discussed and whatever that will be discussed again, it will all be implemented. And I take the responsibility to be the supervisor on my team that I should supervise whatever has been agreed upon, and that must be done.
Mr. Kiir told the Sudanese leader that the process which led to South Sudan breaking away from Sudan was what he called individual choices.
The fact that South Sudan broke away from Sudan was not really the most choice of everybody. But the majority, when they decide in a democratic situation, people have to go with it.
Officials from Sudan and South Sudan have accused each other of supporting rebels in each other's country. In the past, Khartoum accused Juba several times of supporting the SPLA North fighting Sudanese government in Blue Nile and southern Kordofan. Juba has also accused Sudan of supporting rebels loyal to former first vice president Riek Machar.
We have listened to your voice of advice that we do not allow any political groupings to be harbored by South Sudanese against the government of the Republic of Sudan. We will not do that. I believe that the same will not happen here.
That's South Sudan's President Salva Kiir speaking upon arrival in the Sudanese capital on Wednesday. Sudan Information Minister Ahmed Bilal confirms President Kiir and President Bashir are discussing border issues, allegations of supporting rebels in each other's country, and oil revenues. Bilal tells VOA's James Batty the two leaders are also talking about South Sudan's conflict and what Sudan can do to help end the fighting.
The visit actually continuation and vitalization of the agreements which have been done before 2 years between the two countries. About oil, about borders, about security, about the problems in the south and the suspended matters between the two countries. In fact, they are coming with a new vision, and there is a will, and the ministers came first and for the president come, and we have agreed upon all the matters between the two countries. Everybody is so optimistic that this time the borders will be open. The trade and the movement of the people will be easy. Oil production will increase around about 350,000 a day, which can improve a lot situation in the south. And the humanitarian, which is all, before going from one side, now will be the two countries will assist and will cooperate. And this is very important. Plus, another thing which a role which can be played by Sudan in the problem in the south and the war. And we are actually, we were one country, we know each other very well, and we are very much capable of doing that. And I think this will be the main subject of the visit. But about all these agreements which before now agreed about, it was not implemented. Now the main thing is to implement what you have been agreed upon. And as I told you, that the two countries are insisting and there is a new will and drive.
Minister, you talk about the decision to increase production in oil. Part of the agreement was that Juba, South Sudan, will make some payments to your government for the use of oil export pipeline. through your country. Has South Sudan met this requirement, or is this is going to be part of the discussion?
Actually, these matters have been agreed upon before. There is no problem about the transportation of the oil from South through Sudan. There is no problem about this. But there will be cooperation between the country, the countries in the development areas of production of oil have been stopped. And it needs rehabilitation. And it needs some expertise. The two countries will cooperate in that matter. And I think this is what the South Sudan needs. The financial situation there is very bad and these things. And the oil actually, for two reasons, have been. And the other thing, the decrease in the price, which actually doesn't actually cover the expenditure of production of the oil. That's why it's almost come down from 300,000 per day to less than 130.
Both your government and the South Sudan government have accused each other of supporting rebels from the other side. Has this issue been taken care of, or would there be one of the issues to be discussed?
Yes, this is one of the issues. And now the agreement between the two countries, that the free zone of the two countries, 10 miles from the south, 10 miles in the north, and the joint actually troops. And this will be the main guard for the borders. And both sides will be sure that no rebels from other side can come across. The same model which have been done with other countries and successfully with Chad, for example. And this is actually agreed upon. And I think this is the most important. And also the continuation of the support with the South for the rebels there, this will stop. And I think in this matter, Sudan can play a good role with also the rebels, Riek Machar and others, together and to reach the implementation of the agreement of Addis Ababa. I think this is the main key for solving all problems between the two countries, the support of the rebels. This is a big problem.
You mentioned, Minister, the conflict in South Sudan and how your government is in a better position to deal with it, but you are part of IGAD. Does your government have the blessing of IGAD to talk directly with the government in Juba?
In fact, actually, of course, they have the blessing of IGAD and also the I think the United States of America as well. And I think after the lifting of the sanctions on Sudan, and this is one of the requirements, is can Sudan play a role in this? Of course, we can unilaterally do this, and when it comes to the final agreements and these things, this can be endorsed by IGAD.
On the issue of refugees in your South Sudan refugees, South Sudan refugees continue to pour into your country, which makes it more urgent to solve the crisis in South Sudan.
In fact, the problem of the refugees, it depends on the solution of the situation there in the south. Unless the war stops, and these things cannot go back, and the flux will be on. And you know, and many those who are already in Sudan, one million 200, and those who are on the borders, we have actually a very populated borders between the two countries, more than four million or so, and they are just on the borders. So I think the settlement and go back with the refugees and humanitarian assistance to them, and all these things. When we open the borders and this can relieve the things. And the most important actually, the solving of the war and the solution of the conflict and plans. And I think we are so optimistic, as I told you, about this. The two sides actually today we have good and very friendly meetings and talking and this and that are going on that direction.
That's Sudan's Information Minister, Ahmed Bilal. He was speaking to VOA's James Batty from Khartoum. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, non-governmental organizations reject a request by the governor of Yei River State to submit their budgets. We'll bring details on that story right after this break.
What do you think? people speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you do as an outlet for artistic expression?
Dancing, because I'm so much in love with dancing. And actually, I can't do without it. I can't overcome dancing. It's like if I'm in a place where there's music, I just feel like I can't control myself.
I'm not good in singing or dancing, but what I like most is sports. Football, yeah, I can go for that. It's what I like most.
Like for me, I enjoy singing and other things. As I sing, it changes my mood and refreshes my mind and other things.
I choose singing because singing is my talent. And as you know, that music is food to the soul. It releases my stress, my troubles. So when I sing, I feel so good. I feel like everything is gone.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
The governor of Yei River State, David Lokonga Moses, is asking non-governmental organizations operating in his state to submit their work plans and annual budgets to his office. Officials with non-governmental organizations say they have already submitted their work plans to the national government in Juba. They accuse Governor Lokonga of trying to interfere with their work. Daniel Friday Martin has the story for VOA from Yei.
Malice Cosma Stephen, Program Manager for the Organization for Socioeconomic Transformation, a national civil society organization operating in the state, says his organization will share its program activities with the state officials, but nothing else.
It is not all that required by the government to ask for NGOs to declare their budget and so on, but rather the NGOs will have to just present their plans of where they will be operating and what kind of activities they will be doing. So for us as NGOs, we are also asking the government that we are not here as competitors in terms of service providers, but we are here to complement what the government is not able to do so that we all render service to our citizens.
Yei River State Governor David Lokonga Moses says NGOs will declare their budgets to ensure transparency.
We have money with the development partners or NGOs that are operating here. We are going to task all the NGOs that are operating in the state to present their budgets, their programs. They are getting the funding from some other sources, and they are spending for health. We have to reflect in our reports.
Lokonga says some NGOs are duplicating services. He says others present progress reports to their donors without meeting the needs of the poor. Just this week, Governor Lokonga denied his government harasses NGOs, telling CIF that his office has given NGOs the green light to operate in the state without any conditions. Dara Elisa, an official with the international NGO United Methodist Committee on Relief, which supports local farmers, says state officials should focus on restoring peace and security instead of requiring more information from NGOs.
We are here actually to supplement their efforts, particularly in areas that they don't have capacity to do. We are currently planning to support around 5,000 households for the dry season vegetable production. So we are supplementing their effort in supporting the vulnerable people. Actually, one of the ways to raise revenues is by supporting farmers' produce. Taxes will be collected from the farmers. All these are sources of income that can be taxed by the government, and it creates revenue for the government.
Yei River State Minister for Finance and Economic Planning, Kenyi Abieza, says there's needs for transparency, saying state officials enacted new mechanisms to fight corruption in government.
Being accountable to the public because this money belongs to them, we shall observe no corruption, adherence to international standard of transparency and accountability, timely auditing of state books, finances to promote accountability, curtail financial malpractice by individuals or institutions.
Member of Parliament Daniel Lokoroto represents Lasso Payam in the Yei River State Legislative Assembly. Lokoroto says Parliament has very little oversight on government spending and urges state officials to observe standard financial management practices to fight corruption and address the needs of the residents.
We have a lot of budget indiscipline where items that are not budgeted in the budget, money is being spent on them. We are encouraging our government to ensure that it plans or it spends according to activity areas that are being planned in this financial year.
State officials insisted they prioritize education, health, agriculture, and peace in their 2017-2018 fiscal year budget. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei.
A new report released in Juba indicates more than 8,000 children died of pneumonia in South Sudan in 2015. Save the Children and South Sudan's Ministry of Health say at least one child, at least one child under the age of 5 dies every hour of pneumonia in the country due to lack of primary health care. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
The global report on pneumonia says 920,000 children under the age of 5 died of pneumonia in 2015, and most of the deaths were in South Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa. Pneumonia is a lung infection that can lead to a serious cough, a fever, and cause severe breathing problems. In its report entitled Fighting for the Breast in South Sudan, a call to action on childhood pneumonia, Save the Children says pneumonia is now the single biggest cause of child death through infectious disease. Save the Children's acting country director in South Sudan, Malik Arshad, says more work is needed to save lives of South Sudanese children.
In South Sudan, around 8,200 children died in 2015, which is more than a child in an hour, which is quite alarming. Again, 91 per every 1,000 births under 5 die in South Sudan, and that is the data we collected in 2016. At least 20% of children under 5, they die because of pneumonia.
Last year, about 13,000 South Sudanese children were not vaccinated because the vaccine was not available, according to Arshad. He says his NGO is working to strengthen South Sudan's national health care system to prevent more pneumonia-related deaths. Dr. Wilbert Sehaji of Save the Children directs a group of partners such as the World Health Organization, UNICEF, and the Ministry of Health working to improve health care in South Sudan. Dr. Sehaji says most South Sudanese mothers who visit health centers do not get medication for their children.
These are deaths that can be prevented. Now, looking at the absolute numbers, that translates to losing about one child every hour in this country as a result of pneumonia. One child every hour. Those are very many children, over 8,000 children per year. What is it that can be done to reverse this trend? We are talking about the Global Pneumonia Report, which has some aspirations towards 2030, reversing the trends, so that by 2030, about 4 million children who would have died from pneumonia can be saved.
The health partners have agreed to introduce the pneumococcal vaccination for children under the age of 5 across the country to save children from dying from pneumonia. Dr. Sehaji says vaccinations are best methods to prevent pneumonia and other life-threatening infections.
That would definitely contribute to the target of saving more than 4 million children globally by the year 2030. Children who would have died from pneumonia. Now, to mitigate the risk of malnutrition, of course, we're talking about exclusive breastfeeding, for which should be a strategy, both in the rural and the urban settings. We're talking about ensuring food security to address chronic malnutrition in children under 5.
South Sudan Director General for Primary Health Care in the Ministry of Health, Dr. Samson Baba, says the country's health problems are widespread.
The coverage of the health services is only 44%. If we launch this pneumonia document with the current status, are we going to achieve what we are aspiring to achieve? Knowing that it's a disease of poor of the poor, knowing that this country is so vast, the network for access is still not well developed.
According to the Save the Children report, the pneumococcal vaccine could prevent many pneumonia cases in South Sudan. 170 million children under the age of 2 in developing countries, including South Sudan, are not immunized. Dr. Baba says children from poor families who are in remote parts of South Sudan are at increased risk of dying from pneumonia. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
A South Sudanese has written a new book. Rupent Riti Jada says his book entitled Traditional Animal Stories of South Sudan could teach valuable lessons to young South Sudanese. He says the book will also encourage children to read. Ayen Bior reports.
The book's author, Repent Riti Jada, remembers enduring a difficult childhood in what is now South Sudan.
We were born in the war, grew in the war, grew gray hair in the war, and even now we are getting aged in the war.
Riti now lives on the outskirts of Washington, D.C. in Silver Spring, Maryland, where he wrote and published traditional animal stories of South Sudan. He says while growing up during Sudan's civil war, the only sense of normalcy he remembers was listening to the stories his father told him when it got dark.
In fact, what encouraged me because I was born in civil war, during the absence of the school in our village, so my parents, used to tell me these old stories in the evening hours, so that their stories are presented by the animals, but in fact it is a human behavior of to show the future of the kids or how the other people are thinking against the other people.
The characters in his father's stories were always animals who took human form and whose integrity encouraged the young Riti to be a good person. Inspired by those stories, Riti wrote a book in August filled with 90 pages of stories for South Sudan's children. There's one about a donkey who was rude to his fellow animals and is set straight by a cat who convinces a chicken and a goat to talk to the donkey. During the story, each animal tells the donkey why his behavior is problematic. By the end of the story, the donkey realizes that his actions affect others. Riti says the repetition of advice from the different animals was strategic.
When you see a bad behavior, the children will learn not to go and continue with it. Or somebody may, when a child heard something from the other person, that this type of behavior is not good, so the child should listen.
Riti says he is well aware that his home country has one of the worst literacy rates in the world, so he sent copies of his book back home in hopes that South Sudanese children will get excited about reading in spite of the daily challenges they face. The book is available at the online commerce store Amazon for $7.99 in U.S. dollars. Ayen Bior for VOA News, Washington.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Jain Gidam by Richard Badagbo. Been listening to Richard Badagbo with the song Jain Gidam. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We appreciate you making us part of your evening. Would like to hear what you think about this show. Drop us a line at southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on our Facebook page, South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.